Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're seeing a big expansion, and really what it is, it's a migration where you have people migrate, animals migrate, you know, flocks, birds, ducks, whatever. I mean, what happens is when you're at one place and you begin to spread or go to a different place. And so migration, you can go to the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, and we actually have a segment that we did about how migration's taking place with Islam. And Islam's mm-hmm. beginning to migrate where just through migration alone and birthing, but mostly migration, that the populations are changing in nations. I believe they're expecting in a very short period of time that a Europe outside of the gospel of God being preached there mm-hmm. will be an Islamic nation. And the birth rate is so low that the migration rate is so high.
Right. Non-sustainable.
It's non-sustainable. And then you have, you know, people just coming to your nation and this particular people that we're talking about, Muslims, are, you know, following, whether it's liberal, moderate, or
conservative
or radical, you know, which is different levels of belief of the same saying that Muhammad is a messenger of God, which says, by the way, just so you know, as a Christian, that Jesus Christ is not the son of God. And
that's
that he has to come back and apologize.
Yeah,
that's what they say. And that's what Muhammad said mm-hmm. in the Quran. And it's a lot of things, and you can find out. You can compare the two side by side on the VFN Torch. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the Torch. And don't just talk out your head, you know, out of emotions. Go to the Torch and actually read it. Read the Quran. And it's got just not the whole Quran, not the whole Bible, but you have one scripture on the left column and one scripture on the right column, so you can compare the two, what's being said right there. And so when you start seeing that in the natural sense, you know, you can start saying, hey, well, that means it's kind of changing who we are and, you know, all these different things. First, you have to realize that Muslims and Christians and Hindus and Buddhists and, you know, whatever, Baptists and Catholics and
Jews.
Charismatics and Jews and, I mean, we're all human beings. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God. And God loves us. And God loves Muslims. He loves them. And but if you don't tell them this, then I think one of the most intimate terms reportedly in the Quran is that Allah is as intimate to you, as close to you as a sword at your jugular vein.
Right.
That's the most
right.
intimate, I mean, closeness of what's happening there. And so, all of a sudden, you buy into the lie that says, you know, I guess we're just going to be an Islamic nation. I guess we're just going to be, you know, less Christians, more Muslims, yada, that kind of thing. Versus saying, you know what? God loves Muslims. We need to tell them about God. We need to tell them how much he loves them, so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die and to pay the price for their sin. That all this works that Islam talks about and all this religion and everything of that nature, that there's no righteousness in all those works, but in accepting Jesus Christ who paid the price for them. And listen, understand this. If you're thinking how you can win somebody to the Lord through your intellect, of course, that's, you're just wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, you go out and let them know. Let them know, preach the gospel to all nations and allow the signs that follow, you know, cast out demons, speak in tongues, lay hands on the sick and they recover. And he says, and I'll work with you confirming my word. Realize that he will confirm his word. God loves that Muslim. God loves that man and that woman right there. And if all they have is an experience with religion, I mean, they're about to meet a living, breathing, alive, ruling God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting. You got to see things the way God sees things. Understand this. And we're always searching for his perspective and how he sees things, because we know in part and prophesy in part, but at least begin to try to seek out his viewpoint, which you can find in his word. That's, you first have to understand who God loves. And if you haven't listened to Who Does God Love, you got to listen to it. And go to the VFNTV.com and click on the Torch and just type in Who Does God Love. And you'll be really surprised. First of all, he loves you. And he loves whoever them is to you, too. But listen to it. It'll just stir your heart. I mean, I listen to that broadcast, and it just stirs my heart. It's like, that's right. And so then when people who presently seem to be Jesus haters, for example, that are coming to persecute the church, I don't know, like Saul, and you need to have faith to understand that the only reason God is allowing Saul to get close to you is so you can witness to him and that he can get saved. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happened to Saul. I mean, here's Saul going to persecute the church, you know, and you can just hunker down and go, oh, the church's going to be persecuted. Or you can be like Stephen and say, listen, I've seen the face of God. And he began to preach the gospel to the very man that was having him stoned in front of him. As a matter of when you hear about Damascus today in Syria, that Paul, or which is his former name was Saul, was going to Damascus to go with a letter from the church or the temple, the leaders, that to go persecute these Christians up in Damascus and to imprison them and straighten them out. Mm-hmm. And but on the way to to Damascus, he encounters the one who he was about to persecute. God shows up in such a powerful way. Today, you're looking at Syria. You're looking at, you know, a radical Islam. You're looking at all these things take place in the Middle East. Don't forget that God loves the Muslim. Don't forget that. You're not gonna argue somebody or angry somebody or offend somebody, right? You just got to let them know that God loves them and share with them, like Naeem, what we're about to talk about and been talking about. But he's on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden, God just shows up in such a powerful way that his glory manifests, and it's so bright that it just blinds him, and he falls off his donkey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like a persecutor on a donkey, just really, it's hard, but it's true. I mean, that's what's going on.
That's how they did it.
And all of a sudden, he hears this voice that says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you persecuting me? And he's like, Lord, Lord, you know? And so so that encounter, you have to understand that when somebody lays hands on you, they're laying hands on Jesus. When somebody blesses you, they're blessing Jesus. When somebody curses you, they're cursing Jesus. That's what we talked about. We're going to have really soon, and we talked about it the first time. We're not going to have a chance to talk about it, obviously, today, but murderer. You know, murderer, love's not an option is what we're going to be talking about because being angry with your brother, calling your brother a fool, hating your brother is puts you in a very bad place at the judgment seat. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking more about that. And God's love. And look how Jesus, what he did. He entrusted himself to him and judges justly. So if God can touch Saul, who had already stoned Stephen, had already done all these things, you know, in a zealousness for he thought was God, he thought he was doing a service to God and he was killing folks. And understand that somebody who truly is a loyal Muslim, they believe that what they're doing is for God, just like Saul believed what he was doing was for God. But in that zealousness, of course, he is a Jew. He was a Jew in regards to that. But in their heart, they're thinking, they just don't realize that that's not God's desire and that's not what God wants. They haven't yet met God. And they can through his son, Jesus Christ. And so on that road to persecute the church, which means this, it doesn't matter who's coming into your nation, what's going on. Don't clamp down your jaw. Fill your heart full with the love of God and the testimony of God. Get in the word of God. Hear things like VFN radio. Share things like VFN radio and VFN TV. And let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life because God converted Saul on the road to persecute the church and changed his name to Paul. And sent him to a place blind, and then sent a Christian to him to pray for him where he could see again. Then God prepared him, and he wrote one half or one third,
yeah, over half of the
New Testament, almost approximately one half of the New Testament. And in that, understand, prior to him doing this, was he was a persecutor of the church. Mm-hmm. And of course, God told him, he says, listen, get up, I've got to show you some things you must suffer for me. Things you need to go through, you're going to have to go through for me. And he's willing to go through it. And so I want you to think about, when you're thinking about this migration of Islam and how you're seeing people that follow Islam spread throughout the nation, this is a perfect time This is the perfect time on their journeys to let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life, and that as a matter of fact, listen to Zayim's testimony right here as he shares about in full how he met God, a former Muslim.
We grew up Sunni Muslims, and so we weren't radical or extremist by any means, but we were definitely conservative. We would fast during the month of Ramadan. Friday prayers were normal. My sisters would cover up.
Naeem Fazl lived in Kuwait, and he studied the Quran diligently.
We grew up learning and memorizing, actually, the Quran. I can recite passages of the Quran because there was a value in memorizing the Islamic scriptures.
While his life was grounded in the Muslim faith, a chain of events took place that set Naeem on a new spiritual journey. His older brother had an opportunity to study in the United States.
He came here, and a year later he came back and he was different. And I knew something was up. And that's when he actually told us that he was a Christian. I remember that day because I threatened to kill him.
Even though Naeem resented his brother's change of heart, he decided to visit him in America.
I hopped on a plane and came to the U.S., and that's when I got confronted with Christianity.
3 weeks after arriving in the U.S., he went to see a movie with his brother. It was a Christian film.
Here I was confronted with this whole new concept or a whole new religion, but it was more than a religion, you know. And in that movie, I realized that maybe there's something else out there.
Naeem was confused and began to question his Muslim faith.
So I remember just kind of praying, and I wouldn't even call it a prayer. It was just more of a, I don't know who's up there. If you're real, show me. After that, I had another conversation with my brother. He told me that this God who came down in the form of his son, Jesus, would pursue me and do whatever it takes to have a relationship with me. I remember making fun of him, and I said, well, you know, will he just come down if I just ask him? And my brother said, yes, if you would ask him, he'll come down. And I remember at that point, I went, this is ridiculous. But in my head, I was thinking, you know what? If this is true, then why don't you reveal yourself?
That night when he was going to sleep, he sensed what he describes as an evil presence filling his bedroom.
The door opened. I looked up and the room started to look really strange, more like death. I mean, what walked in was this demon, this thing that I couldn't even explain. So this thing starts walking towards me and somehow communicates that it's going to kill me. And it stopped right on my bed and just disappeared.
He ran down the hall to his brother's room.
He said, you know, the only person that I know has power over demons and angels is Jesus.
Naeem returned to his room.
I said, Jesus, I don't know who you are. I can't call you the Lord of my life. I can't call you, you know, Savior. I can't call you any of these things. Because at this moment, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I need help. But if you will help me, then I will give you my whole life. The next moment, I found myself sitting on my bed with my eyes open, staring into this presence. I can't even explain it. It was the presence of Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. This peace was so aggressive. It invaded every single thing, every part of me. And I felt like it communicated to me saying, your life is not your own. And I believed it.
He finally understood all that his brother was trying to tell him.
I wanted to do everything possible. So I think the first month or so, I must have prayed the sinner's prayer or accepted Jesus or said the prayer like about 8 or 9 times. Because I just wanted to do it. I just want to make sure.
When he was a Muslim, he learned the Quran and knew a lot about Allah, but didn't have a relationship with him.
It makes total sense now. It only makes sense that God would come in to us in the form of a man, a human, and to be able to relate to us, but also to redeem us, and to have a relationship with us.
In the years that followed, Naeem ministered to college students and met his wife, Ashley. They now have two beautiful children, Asher and Noura. Naeem challenges those in the Muslim faith to make a specific prayer if they really want to have a relationship with God.
When Muslims talk with me and we talk about our differences and why I converted, my challenge to them is this. I said, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you consistently for a period of time, maybe take 2 weeks or so, and just sincerely seek this God, this just Jesus. He's able to take a person, radically transform them, and give them a purpose beyond their imagination. Because that's exactly what God did to me. God wants a relationship with them more than they do. And so God's going to pursue them. And all they need to do is just ask.
Powerful. Such a powerful, powerful testimony coming from CB. And you can actually see this on The Torch at VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. This is what we're called to do. So it's actually a positive thing. When you start seeing Saul start coming your direction, realize, prepare yourself to be able to be a deliverer of the love of God.
Wow.
And you think about Stephen, and Stephen was stoned to death and, they laid his coat at Saul's feet as he was being stoned. He was only days away, hours away from meeting this God who Stephen saw the face of. And you have to understand, it's not that you do forever, because you don't live forever on this earth. You live forever in the presence of God. It's appointed once to die and then the judgment. The thing is, are we faithful in our generation? Do we do at the moment God has positioned us, because he orchestrates our life, as Acts chapter 17 says, and picks the day and the place and the time that we would live. And everything is Father filtered, that if that's you standing before a persecutor, before a Saul, are you going to deliver the love of God to them? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to deliver religion? And Stephen he literally went through the whole, and you can listen to that, read that one particular chapter in Acts, and he covers the entire Word of God. Mm-hmm. And his last message was the full Word of God. And that should be our message, the full Word of God. But in that, he was about to die. He was about to be in the presence of God. And he was looking at the face of God. God, it's such an awesome moment of love, obviously, between God and Stephen, because they were surrounding him, trying to get him to renounce probably, what he believed in. And God was so moved by that, that God showed him his face. I mean, how many people on the earth has walked on the earth and saw the face of God? And you can name them, Enoch, Moses, and right. Jesus. And so it was like he was looking on the face of God, just this glory of God was on his face. And then he fell dead, and he was smiling while it was happening.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been hit by a rock before, but being stoned.
Hit by a tree once.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just, and to be able to smile. I mean, Jesus was being nailed to a cross, and he says, hold not this sin against them. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And, God, give us a grace to just be that witness at that moment. I think about the Columbine shooting with the young girl who was in the library, and he pointed the gun at her head and said, do you know Jesus?
Right.
Whatever. And she just openly professed, yes, I do know Jesus. And he shot her.
Knew what it cost.
That was like a Stephen encounter. It was a moment for her and God, that she is one of the precious martyrs who stood before God. But understand this. Now look beyond Stephen's death. Because he witnessed, because there was the word that does not return void was launched into the heart and the mind of this persecutor named Saul. He had to contend with it. And it was such a powerful message that the face of God that Stephen was seeing, that Saul was going to see it in a moment on his way to persecute more of the church. And God shows up in such a powerful way that the word in him confronted the word in his face, and in that convergence, he was confronted with Jesus is Lord.
Right.
He said, Lord, Lord, and in that he began to say, you're persecuting me. That was me. That wasn't Stephen. That was me that you've done. You're fixing to go lock up and hurt people over here in Damascus. That's me. And because Stephen was faithful to do this, Jesus met Saul, this man named Saul, and he was willing to suffer anything. Even he ran to the chopping blocks. He was willing to be shipwrecked. He was willing to be bound and put in prison. I mean, he wrote right at 50% of the New Testament, letters from prison talking about freedom in God and being blessed in God and prosperity in God. But he's writing those from prisons. Those are the epistles written in prisons. I mean, this is a powerful thing. Why? Because Stephen understood what we need to understand in our life, that we're not called for this life alone, but we're called for the life beyond this. Don't live just for this life. Just like in marriage, when in 1 Corinthians chapter 17, when Paul is writing to the church, he's saying, listen, you know, if you are married, live like you're not, because time is short. Mm-hmm. Don't live like you're trying to live forever in this life. It's going to end. It could end tomorrow. It could end today. Be ready to go. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, but don't waste this opportunity to be somebody like Stephen or to be somebody like Saul, who got transformed to Paul, and he became a great apostle, a witness for God, and began to raise up spiritual sons and did this awesome work for God. But what happened was the word in him, sown by Stephen, confronted him on the way to Damascus, and now this persecutor became a promulgator and began to advance the kingdom of God. So Stephen's ministry, though he died and went into the presence of God, still lived on through the one who stoned him. Mm-hmm. Through the one who stoned him. Think about it.
Amazing.
Until you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. You're not ready, right?
Working on it.
And so in the context of that, I mean, think about it. Stephen's ministry went on. It transferred, the anointing transferred from Stephen to Saul. That's powerful.
Wow.
And so while he is in the presence of God as a martyr, one of the highest positions in heaven, mm-hmm. with, you know, for us, that his ministry continued on through his persecutor, who became a persecutor of Satan's church. mm-hmm. He loved the Jews so much, he was willing to give anything for them, but he was called to the Gentiles. We're thankful today for Stephen's willingness to not be intimidated by those that were coming his way with a goal to persecute him. He still stood up. He still stayed a witness. He still stayed bold for God. And even though it cost him his life on here, on the earth, it did not cost him eternity, because he instantly was with the Lord. To be absent for the body is to be present with God. It's time to stand up and be a bold witness for God. And the Naims out there, they're going to find God, and they'll be just like Saul's, just like Paul.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.